Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
It is draft day in Kansas City, and let's get ready for the chaos and the trades. I think we're going to have a wild first round on Thursday night at Union Station in or near downtown Kansas City, depending on how you want to describe exactly where that is, near Crown Center, as tens of thousands of people no doubt will show up and watch this on what appears to be a pretty darn nice day. Most people will be outside, and we certainly don't want to see a bunch of rain come and, you know, force people to go home and not have the good time tonight. Fallout Boy will be playing after the festivities. The Chiefs will pick dead last, and then the concert starts. There's a lot of things syncing up here, and we'll take a deep dive into what we believe will happen here early in the draft. Most people that like the NFL draft, that really like and watch the NFL draft, most people watch the first night. First round drama is palpable. Some players drop and it becomes uncomfortable as you're watching. You feel bad for a player that thinks they're going number 7 or 8. And all of a sudden we're down to the 21st pick and that player hasn't gone. Aaron Rodgers was a player like that way back. It's impossible to believe as that may be. That happens, and it happens with a lot of players. There are also shocking moves. The Chiefs have been part of this. The Chiefs love to move up in the draft. They like to either move up in the first round or out of the first round. It's kind of what I've been able to see. And they're not moving out of the first round. I believe there's a mandate from ownership that you will have a selection tonight in front of this home crowd. So it is a little odd that you would, you know, I don't think Clark Hunt is real big on putting handcuffs on the men that work for him. But I do believe he has absolutely said you will not trade out of the first round. There will be a pick tonight by the Kansas City Chiefs here in Kansas City, an historic moment. And I understand why an owner would say that, and I don't think trading out of the first round is a, you know, some sort of a giant thing that the Chiefs would have to do, that some unbelievable opportunity would exist for them to trade out of the first round. I think they will pick tonight. And I do think we're going to see some chaos. I think we're going to see something. Well, I think the first pick is going to be Bryce Young, the quarterback to the Panthers. I don't think anybody really questions that. But then what do the Texans do at 2? Do they go with an edge rusher like Will Anderson Jr. from Alabama, or are they going quarterback here? And if they go quarterback, where do they go? Do they go Anthony Richardson out of Florida? They go C.J. Stroud? Will Levis out of Kentucky is projected to go maybe around 9, 10, 11, something like that. So we're looking at 4 quarterbacks probably in the first 10 or 11 picks. But most of the mock drafts that I've looked at are just lovely for the Chiefs. It shows me 5, 6, 7 selections before the Chiefs pick of teams that will take offensive linemen or interior defensive linemen. I mean, I just love hearing that. I think the one thing that I'll be rooting for tonight as I watch the draft is more linemen. Take them, take them, take them in front of the Chiefs. Get them all. Go get them. Draft as many guards as can be taken before the Chiefs select, the better. Because that improves the Chiefs' board. I'm going to guess the Chiefs have ranked players 1 through 31, and they do not have an offensive guard in that list. I'll bet there's not one. There may be a couple of tackles that they would covet and say, okay, this guy. But if we see, sometimes we've seen 5, 6, 7 offensive linemen and interior defensive linemen taken. I don't think the Chiefs have 7 or 8 offensive linemen or interior defensive linemen in their top 30. So every time one of those gets taken, the Chiefs are moving up in the draft. We don't ever look at it that way. You have to look at the draft this way. What is the Chiefs' top 31? And what do they ultimately draft at 31? When they select a player at 31, did they get their 23rd best player? And I think they will. I think that's what they're really, really good at. The Chiefs don't rank players regardless of position. They did this forever under Carl Peterson and previous regimes. They don't do that. The Chiefs draft board is based on what the team needs more than they don't just, arbitrarily look, completely objectively look at every player and rank them. They don't do that. The Chiefs stack their board according to what their team needs. And I think we all know what the Chiefs need. What they really could use would be an elite, world-class pass rusher. That's probably their most glaring need, but I guess we're still talking like there's a chance Frank Clark's going to be back here. I don't know. He was teasing that on social media. Hard to say. I think a lot of these things will shake out during the draft and where the Chiefs then go after the draft based on what is available to them. But I think there will be a lot of chaos in the first round. I think there's going to be movement. I think there's going to be teams clearly that want a tackle or a defensive lineman, not an edge rusher, or maybe even a linebacker that will be holding a draft pick that somebody covets because they want a wide receiver or a quarterback or a corner, a skill position player. And those teams are going to be willing to trade down five spots and still get their linemen because they know, you know what's right behind you. You know if there's three or four teams behind you that are not drafting an offensive lineman. So you trade. I think there's going to be trades. I think there's going to be movement in this first round. And I think it will generally involve a team that trades down, a team that trades up to get a skill position player, and a team that trades down to get a tackle or a guard. I think you'll see that in this draft tonight. So watch for that. The more of that we see, probably the better. We want to see teams that are committed to drafting those tackles, guards, and interior defensive linemen. That doesn't mean the Chiefs couldn't or wouldn't take an interior defensive lineman. It doesn't seem likely to me. So the Vegas odds for the Kansas City Chiefs in the first round go like this. This is what the odds makers in Vegas say. And these are kind of round, broad categories. Like the first category is defensive lineman. To me, that's edge rusher. I don't see the Chiefs' first round draft pick going somewhere in the middle of the line. I just don't see it. So Vegas says plus 175, the Chiefs take a defensive lineman. Plus 175, they take an offensive lineman. I think Vegas is wrong. I don't see the Chiefs taking a tackle with their first round pick. I've been wrong before. I just think Andy Reid has it in his DNA that we can find a tackle somewhere else and coach him up. We got to go get elite talent, and I think there will be some skill position player there, somebody with speed, athleticism, somebody that they believe is a difference-making kind of. And listen, if that's a left tackle, if they've got some guy rated as the second best left tackle in the draft, and he's sitting there at 31, they may go that direction if that's the way they rate him. But I don't see that. I see them going with an edge rusher, a wide receiver, probably with the first pick, assuming they stay at 31. If they trade up, I most certainly don't see them, again, going for a left tackle. I would see them going for a pass rusher if they trade up. There's a lot of wide receivers in this draft. There's a lot of guys that would work in the Chiefs' offense. So I'm not sure they're going to go trading up for any of these wide receivers, unless maybe they just fall in love with Quentin Johnson out of TCU, which a lot of people project going around 23, 25. He's a bigger target for Patrick Mahomes that he hasn't had, so he could be kind of an interesting guy to watch if the Chiefs were going to trade up for a player like that. But Vegas says it's going to be a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. Then they say wide receiver, and really, Vegas says it's going to be one of those three. Wide receiver is plus 200, but then it jumps at tight end all the way to 1,600, running back to 2,200, cornerback to 2,800, linebacker 3,300, safety 3,300. And quarterback 10,000. So Vegas is pretty convinced the Chiefs are going to go with an edge rusher, a tackle, or a wide receiver with the first pick. If you are betting on something like this, I think the value here in placing a wager on what the Chiefs are going to do is it running back or cornerback. And again, they'd have to get lucky. Something would have to break their way. Bijan Robinson, we've talked about a great deal, could go anywhere between number 8 in the first round and number 25. Well, if he gets down around 23 or 24, the Chiefs may try to pull off a trade for the number 25 team who would take Bijan Robinson. They may try to pull that off and go in front. That's possible. So if you're wagering, running back is a possibility. Alabama's got a terrific running back sitting there too that is thought to go either in the first round or very early in the second round. And corner, you just don't know how the Chiefs rate the secondary. This has always been tricky for me because they take players in the secondary that any mock draft or all the information out there and the experts usually have second or third round picks. And sometimes the Chiefs will draft somebody in the first round that is just not projected there. One such player is a local player, Julius Brents at Kansas State. He graded out better than any corner at the combine. He played at Kansas State, which means there's inherent bias into the draft. There is. Teams have bias against the school you played for. They love to draft Alabama players. They really don't like going to Mississippi Valley State that much. It just exists. The Chiefs try harder than most to not have that bias, and I think we've seen that. But a lot of teams still get stuck in that, and they know that their fans are happy when you draft somebody from Alabama, and they're not necessarily happy when you take a guy from, you know, Oregon State that you've never heard of or something like that. I think Brents is an interesting candidate for the Chiefs. I don't think they'll take him at 31. I think he's a second round pick, but of all the guys that have moved up, nobody's moved up in the draft more than the corner from Kansas State, who was clearly their best cornerback, and he's got everything you want. He's got all the measurables, and he just blew the scouts away at the combine. He's gone to all the pro days. He has just flown up the board. I think at the beginning of all this, they were projecting him maybe a fifth-round pick, and now a place or two has said he could sneak into the first round, that he's that talented, he's that well-built, he's that gifted. It's always possible. You don't want to miss the consensus on Julius Brents from Kansas State is that whoever drafts him, people will look back in 5 years and say, we can't believe he wasn't drafted higher than that. That's the consensus. We don't even know where he's going. So if that's the word on the street, you just don't know what's going to happen. So if you're betting tonight, I would take the long odds on running back or cornerback, and I wouldn't risk very much. I'd maybe bet like $10 on that and see what happens and see if you can make, you know, $220 or $280 on the Chiefs going somewhere different than what everybody thinks. But the odds makers say edge rusher, left tackle, wide receiver, it's almost a lock. That's what the Chiefs will do. We shall see. Candidates for those positions include, as I mentioned, Quentin Johnson from TCU. If he gets there, if he gets to 31, Bijan Robinson probably won't be there. So here are some other candidates. Wide receiver Jalin Hyatt out of Tennessee is a speedster. He is 6 feet tall, and he is just pure out-and-out speed. He's got a teammate named Cedric Tillman who is projected to go in the second round. Maybe the Chiefs look at all this depth at wide receiver and say, we'll just hang on here for a while and get a receiver somewhere else. And they go edge rusher. We don't know. Will McDonald from Iowa State visited Kansas City. In the past, that has not mattered. Whether you visited Kansas City or did not visit Kansas City doesn't matter. They've met you at the combine. Maybe they did a secret visit to see you, where you are, where you live, or something like that. It's hard to say. Will McDonald could be there for the Chiefs. It's probably more likely than not that he would be there. Keon White is an edge rusher out of Georgia Tech that not many people know about that is projected right in that area. The Chiefs, again, it's who they like more than everything else you've read. Everything else that you've read or followed about these players, if the Chiefs like them more, they will take them. They have no. Patrick Mahomes was a classic example. The guy didn't win any football games in college, so he was down the board. People didn't have him projected that high. My goodness, the Bills said no thanks and made a trade with the Chiefs and let the Chiefs take Patrick Mahomes. So the Chiefs were reading through their own eyes, their own skill, something that the rest of the NFL was not seeing. They do this consistently. Obviously did it with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. I mean, I could go on and on and on at the skill position players, the Chris Jones, the players the Chiefs do this with. They're very, very good at this. They're not overly great at drafting an offensive lineman and saying, okay, there's a real difference maker. They're just not. So I think it'll be fascinating to see what they do, but there's some edge rushers certainly would be available. If they go offensive tackle, most people leave the two best available at 31 would be DeJuan Jones, an offensive tackle from Ohio State, Anton Harrison from Oklahoma. And if they go defensive lineman, Kalijah Kancey from Pittsburgh has to fall to get there. And that would be not necessarily an edge rusher. That's a guy more in the middle. But if they go that direction, Pitt has a guy, but he'd have to fall. He's ranked very, very high. The Chiefs do not have the Mr. Irrelevant pick in the seventh round. I got a lot of emails and people asking, do the Chiefs have the last pick in the draft, Mr. Irrelevant? They do not. There are 9 picks on Thursday night after the Chiefs in the seventh round. Mr. Irrelevant last year was Brock Purdy, who wound up playing quarterback in the playoffs for the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's about to lose the name Mr. Irrelevant. Of course, the Chiefs famously drafted Mr. Irrelevant in 2009, and he's still playing. He's not playing here, but this very famous Mr. Irrelevant, after a game in December against San Francisco, I believe it was Brock Purdy's first win. Might have been his first start as a quarterback for the 49ers. He won, and the Chiefs' former Mr. Irrelevant played for the other team and walked up to him after the game and congratulated him, and they hugged, and it became sort of a famous picture. 2 Mr. Irrelevants. The last player taken in the draft is Mr. Irrelevant. 2 Mr. Irrelevants. Brock Purdy, who made a lot of news this last year, and Ryan Succop, who's still kicking, was kicking for Tampa last year. The Chiefs drafted him with the last pick in the draft in 2009. That was obviously a very good pick. I think these are now the 2 most famous names, Mr. Irrelevant, and I think Ryan Succop, 14-year career, is probably the best and most famous Mr. Irrelevant pick in the seventh round. But keep in mind, teams used to cut seventh round draft choices. Just because they drafted you didn't mean you made the team. Now you're pretty much guaranteed. The Chiefs occasionally will drop one, say, yeah, we blew it on this one. And some of these free agencies we brought in, we like them. The undrafted free agents that they bring in, sometimes they'll hit on a couple of those and say, that's better than the one that we had on the draft board. They'll learn that through spring drills and sometimes before summer, but usually in camp. And then they'll let them go and say, yeah, we missed up. And the Chiefs are not, they carry no ego to this. The one real great credit, the Chiefs, they have no ego in this. They draft you in the sixth round, and they got an undrafted free agent that comes in at your position, and they like you better in camp. The draft choice is gone. Chiefs don't, they carry no ego. When you've traded up and drafted Patrick Mahomes, you carry no ego into any of this. You just put the best damn players on your team. And the Chiefs are good at that. The Royals suck at this, by the way. The Royals suck at this. They draft somebody and they stand by you forever. How long did they employ Bubba Starling? I mean, seriously. The Royals are the worst at this. The Chiefs are not. They simply are not. So, Mr. Irrelevant, I guess, matters. And now we live in an era where teams get so young and the careers seem to be shorter and shorter, and only a handful of veteran players stay on because of what they cost as they get older. So many undrafted free agents make teams as well. So these players matter. The Chiefs are good at this. I trust in what they do. And you know I'm skeptical. And boy, was I skeptical early on the Chiefs. You know, their very first pick was a lineman, an offensive tackle, Eric Fisher, who was a nice player, but never a great player. He was never a difference maker. Again, I would have gone skill position there, but the Chiefs have missed on some. But you just can't argue with Chiefs drafts anymore. I'm sorry. It's just one of those proven things that if you're being fair and you're being honest, and we all like to, I don't know what the grades will be come Saturday night when this thing's all over. I don't know what everybody's going to grade the Chiefs out. Whatever they do, if you think the Chiefs have a C grade in the draft, I would warn all the pundits around the country. If you look at the Chiefs draft and go C, you better raise it to B. For two reasons. One, they're good at this. Number two, they have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, which means players are in position to come here and have success right away. You just are. That's how it works. Should be fun. I think we're going to have some chaos in this thing tonight. Chaos. I want chaos. I love lots of movement. I like to see stuff bouncing around. So there's some players to look at. The other one that I guess could be interesting is a lot of folks are, hey, the Chiefs have to replace Travis Kelce at some point. Sam LaPorta is a tight end out of Iowa that is a possibility and should be available at 31. I consider that now a skill position player. I've changed on this. I used to rail on the Chiefs and say, it's a bad thing when your best player is your tight end. Well, you can make an argument that the Chiefs' second or third best player is a tight end, but he's not their best player. When Tony Gonzalez was here, he was the best player on the team, and I said, that's bad. You want your best player always to be quarterback. The Chiefs have shored that up. Their best player is that. It affords them the opportunity to do something like draft a tight end in the first round if they think this person is the next Travis Kelce. That all makes sense. I think it's a year early to do that. I think if you're looking for a tight end, the fourth or fifth round is maybe where you go. You don't go early. Brock Bowers is a stud out of Georgia. He is a Travis Kelce clone, and he cannot be in the draft until next year. Now, where the Chiefs draft next year and whether they could get that player, I don't know. But Brock Bowers is Travis Kelce. There is no doubt. He'll be the top tight end in the draft next year, and he may wind up being just a top 10 pick. The people look at him and go, wow, this guy's a franchise-type player, and the Chiefs may have no shot at him. But they may also say, let's just wait and see what happens. Well, wait, there is a generational tight end coming out next year, and there is no doubt about that. All right, on to the Royals. The Royals play at, they lost yesterday 2-0. Oh, but they got four hits. They struck out 13 times. Zach Gallen was amazing. Incredible for the Diamondbacks. He has 28 scoreless innings, so it's not just the Royals. That's four outings in a row that Zach Gallen has not given up a run for the Diamondbacks. That's ridiculous. Anyway, the Royals lose. They're 2-10 in their last 12. They've scored three runs or fewer in eight of those 12 games. They struck out 13 times on Wednesday. They now head to Minnesota, where the Royals have lost seven straight against the Twins. Jeez. Really? Seven straight at Minnesota against the Twins? And I'm going to give you the most shocking stat I've seen of this baseball season yet. This is Royals futility. The headline here is Royals futility. This is the most shocking stat yet on Royals futility. Well, before I do that, did we mention this yesterday on the podcast? I don't even know. They won the game the day before with Brady Singer. Half the Royals' wins this year are Brady Singer starts. That's great. And he hasn't even been that good, but that's what they did last year. They every time he pitched, they won. Every time somebody else pitched, they lost. To double down on that, listen to this number. This is unbelievable. Zach Greinke pitches for the Royals on Thursday night in Minnesota against the Twins. Zach Greinke has a 19-game road winless streak dating back to 2021. He has not won a road game since August of 21. The Chiefs have played two football seasons since then. Two complete seasons since then. This is right? This is crazy. They played the 21 season, the 22 season. We even had a parade. The Chiefs have played two. Zach Greinke hasn't won a road game with the Royals then, right? I mean, this is just unbelievable. August 13, 2021, Zach Greinke's last road win. I've never heard of such a thing. Obviously, he plays on a crappy team. That's doubling down on when Brady Singer pitches, the Royals win. When somebody else doesn't, the pitches, they don't. I can't figure it out. It's not like Greinke's been terrible in all those starts. He's been bad in some of them, but he's had some good ones. This team is bizarro, man. No question about it. The Royals are bizarro. One place that's not bizarro, but is fun like a bazaar, B-A-Z-A-A-R. Is that how you spell bizarre? As in a fun place to go? Is Amini's, 105th and Metcalf. Right now, outdoor furniture on sale at Amini's. And they've got a wide variety of outdoor furniture. They have extreme top of the line. You will not find better outdoor furniture anywhere in the world. And several excellent lines of outdoor furniture that cost a little bit less than that. You won't find the stuff that you find sitting outside Walmart, to be honest about it. This is really good, high quality, proud of your home outdoor furniture. Don't forget, guys, they have awesome deals right now and 0% interest available on pinball machines, golden tee, pool tables, shuffleboard, all for your man cave. Amini's is the place to go. It's not just in Kansas City. If you listen to the podcast across state or you live near St. Louis, Amini's is in St. Louis as well. Tulsa and Oklahoma City. We got a lot of listeners down in Oklahoma as well. Don't forget Amini's in those cities. R.S. Amini has built a mini empire here in the Midwest of all the best cool stuff. It's stuff that you love for your home. They even have hot tubs and saunas. Amini's.com is the website, or visit them this weekend at 105th and Metcalf and check out all their outdoor furniture on sale right now. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. I got a text from my father-in-law yesterday. He's like, what's the name of your pest control? I'm like, it's Advantage. AdvantageTPC.com. He is a contractor. I don't want to call him. It's hard to describe exactly what Dave does. He builds and fixes things. He's not what you would describe as a classic remodeler or home builder. But you got a problem at your house, and he's on it. And he's really good at it. And he went to a house, apparently. And I'm pretty sure Dave does all his. He's just that guy. I think he does all his own pest control. So let me just say that right there. And he said, what's the name of the pest control company? Because I just worked with a client and she's got mice and she's freaked out. And I said, oh, it's Advantage. Just call Aaron over at this number, 913-768-8989. And he is passing that on to one of his clients because he wants to make sure that they get it right. He wants to make her happy and get continued work when she has stuff that breaks and he goes and fixes it or whatever. So it all kind of works together. We love referrals for Advantage Termite and Pest Control. That's awesome. If you use them, refer them. We're one big happy family here with the KKHI Network. We certainly appreciate that. And of course, you can get their link as well just by going to the KK list. All of our sponsors are right there on my website, thekklist.com. You can see everybody affiliated in one way or another with this family that we have. And if you want to support one of them for goods or services, you can find them all in one place. TheKKList.com. Now, I didn't tell my father-in-law that. I didn't say, well, why didn't you go to the KK list and find Advantage's number? It's all right there. Every sponsor's right there. That's why we put it there. The KKList.com. Pretty cool. Thanks to our friends at Advantage. Also, Advanced Medical Imaging in Lawrence, MedImageKS.com is their website, or I'm sorry, their phone number is 785-856-0224. If you'd like to get that heart scan, I was talking to a friend yesterday who said, yeah, I had one done a few years ago. I'm in pretty good shape. I said, I feel like this is something we should do every year. I feel like it's something that should be covered by insurance, but it's not. But I also know it costs less than $100. Online, MedImageKS.com. Get your heart scan and get your plaque score. See what's inside. That's what it's all about at Advanced Medical Imaging. You don't have to go to one of these really big, fancy, expensive places around town or the hospital where they make you wait 3 weeks. If you need an MRI or CT scan, you will not find better, newer, more modern, comfortable equipment anywhere than at MedImageKS.com. They have a brand new building and a brand new facility. They're just not over the top like something you'd see in Leawood or near Zona Rosa or something like that. They're the best. These guys are great. MedImageKS.com. We've talked a little golf on the Patreon podcast. We have Danny on there quite a bit, Danny Klinkskill. And I love talking golf. We don't do a lot of golf right here on this one, but there's something really interesting going on between the PGA Tour, the World Golf Rankings, LIV Golf. You've seen it. I assume that many of you by now have seen the incredible viral clips of what happened last week in Australia when LIV Golf played there. Chase Koepka hit a hole in one. We saw absolute mayhem with the fans. We saw celebrations. We saw Taylor Gooch shoot 20 under par in a 54-hole tournament and drink a beer out of his golf shoe after he won almost $5 million. He beat three of the top six finishers in the Masters in doing this. Taylor Gooch, outstanding young player, by the way, was just climbing up on the PGA Tour when LIV came along and said, we got a bunch of money for you. You want to come over here and play? And he said, yes, I do. And he did. And he's making even more as he plays. And he is an outstanding player. He is a world-class golfer on LIV. And he's young. And this was a big deal. And it was maybe a defining moment for this tour. Phil Mickelson said there's no turning back now. What we saw last week has set the stage. They're in Singapore this week at a golf course. If you love golf, I was completely unaware of this course in Singapore. If you look at where they're playing this week and go look at the... If you follow LIV Golf on Twitter or any social media or anything, and you see some things they tweet out, these courses they're playing at around the world are just badass. I don't even know how else to say it. They're incredible. Some remarkable golf courses are being built around the world, and this week they're at one of them in Singapore. Bryson DeChambeau had a news conference yesterday in Singapore, and most of it was centered around the official world golf rankings. The official world golf rankings now, it almost seems like now the tours around the world are working for the golf rankings, not the other way around. They started by saying, look, we have all these different tours around the world. We have the European Tour, we have the American Tour, we have the Alps Tour. It's true. There's a thing, the Alps. We have the Alps Tour. And everybody plays, and then the official world golf ranking takes into account the different tours, the quality of players there, and we give official points on the world golf ranking. So majors can sort of help decide which players to bring in to play the majors. You see where this is going. Taylor Gooch shot 20 under for 54 holes. He beat three of the top six guys in the Masters, and he fell in the world golf rankings last week. He went down. By winning on LIV Golf, he went down. This is just unbelievable. There's something out there called Data Golf, which is a different ranking, and they allow LIV Golf in this thing. Taylor Gooch moved up 9 in their world ranking for Data Golf. Dustin Johnson, for example, is thought to be a Ryder Cup player this year for Team USA. They believe he'll be selected as a captain's pick, even though he's on LIV Tour. The Data Golf rankings, world rankings, have him at number 17 in the world. The official world golf rankings, which doesn't recognize LIV Tour, has him at number 74. This is a complete joke. We have to ask the question, does golf exist for the rankings, or do the rankings exist to reflect the best professional golfers in the world? Anybody with a brain would say the rankings exist to reflect the best golfers in the world, regardless of where they play. That's why they're called the official world golf rankings. They even give points for playing well on the Alps Tour, for crying out loud. name me a golfer on the Alps Tour. You can't do it. I don't care what's going on in court. I don't care what kind of legal battles are going on. Liv is winning this battle, as I predicted they would. They're winning this battle because three guys finished in the top six of the Masters. They're winning this battle because the official world golf rankings are a joke, a complete and utter joke, and everyone knows it. And now what's going to happen is the PGA Tour, the European Tour, all these different tours, the Alps Tour, the Australasian Tour, they're going to piss off the majors because they're not going to be able to reflect who the majors should have in their tournament to have the best tournament. That's the reason this was designed this way, was to help say, okay, who's exempt? Who's automatically in because they're ranked so high in the world golf rankings? Well, not Taylor Gooch. Seems to me he belongs. He just whipped up on three of the top six Masters finishers. That's pretty good. I mean, this is crazy. Young websites. I don't know how else to describe this, but more and more people are speaking out now and feel like they can about Live Golf. That we're past the we hate Saudis thing. And by the way, those of you that gave up Bud Light and have been, you know, whacked out of your mind on Bud Light and won't drink anything Anheuser-Busch, have you gotten rid of everything Nike? Because Dylan Mulvaney was peddling sports bras for Nike. Does that mean you've thrown out your shoes? And you'll never buy anything Nike again? Just asking. I'm asking for a friend. Because people ask me, I don't drink Bud Light. They say, oh, you drink Mick Ultra. You going to quit that? I said, maybe. I'm going to try some Yuengling Light maybe when I see it and find it and put it in my fridge. I'll try it. I'm open to that. But if you want to be mad, you're supposed to be mad at Bud Light, not the entire company, right? Or are you going to give up everything Nike? I mean, this gets really hard. Are you going to go to an electric vehicle because you don't know if you're putting Saudi gas in your car? It can't be done anymore. This is a fight not worth fighting. This global thing, we need to do better as a country, but as a consumer, it's impossible. You can't just buy products that are 100% all American made. It can't be done anymore. You just can't. Not if you go to a concert and you want to buy a t-shirt from your favorite band or pretty much anything made. Is there any car made that everything is in it is American? Can you do that? I'm not giving up cars. Are you giving up cars? I'm not. But this is insanity when we get to things like this. It's totally crazy. And Liv Golf is going to win. The younger people are speaking out on this. They don't care about the Saudi part. Young websites like Barstool are really making noise. So that's what we're seeing is the younger golf fans are like, we don't care about the history. This is going to be divided along lines of age. Older people are going to say, we hate Live Golf. We don't want any part of it. We hate it. And the PGA Tour rocks, and that's that. And younger people are going to say, well, what we saw last week looked pretty damn fun. And there's room for that in golf. We've splintered off into the Asian Tour and the European Tour and all these other tours. We've splintered off into that. If that's what we've done, we've got room for Live Golf, which is truly a global tour. They just want to go around the world and tour big name golfers and play golf tournaments. And I don't really have a problem with it. And I think Live Golf is winning. They've had clearly their best week ever the last week. And now they're just attacking the world golf rankings, saying this is a joke. And you can't argue. You cannot make an argument that the world golf rankings are not a joke now. You just can't do it. KKHI is brought to you by BStock.net in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. They're online at BStock.net. Their red tag auction item of the week is always available at the KK list. If you go there, they have a MacBook Pro this week starting at $9.99. The bidding goes up from there. The bidding ends at 1 o'clock on Friday. Their special this week is Dell Latitudes, business-grade laptops from Dell, not the cheaper ones you see at Best Buy. They have the Dell Latitude 5310 with an i7 processor, 32 gigs of memory, full 13-inch display, $699. This is 50% off. And they're re-brand new, factory sealed with full Dell warranty. Half price, Dell Latitudes, business grade laptops, bstock.net. North Kansas City Dental is proud presenting sponsor of the Team Smiles Golf event in the Northland next month. I'll be competing in that at the National. Team Smiles is a wonderful program that does free dental work for kids around the country that can't afford dental care. They have done millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of dental care around the country. Dr. Bush travels. They set up events at Arrowhead Stadium, do that here. He works with Dustin Colquitt. It's an unbelievable charity. If you'd like to be in the team, go to teamsmiles.com and check them out. And the golf tournament is May 22nd in the Northland. If you'd like to be a sponsor and you love this program like Dr. Bush does, we'd love to have you on board. And if you'd like to switch dentists, or if you just don't go to the dentist, you probably need to. NKCDental.com, 816-471-2911. Back 9 Development is online at back9development.com. TJ Vilkanskas is a custom builder and developer. Whether you're looking for an upscale custom home, he's building three in Kansas City right now, or maybe a commercial project. He does that in places like Lawrence, Topeka, and Manhattan, in Aggieville. He's got all kinds of cool things going on. If you have some land, if you have a property, and you would like to build, you need to meet with TJ before you make your decision on exactly what you're going to do. 785-236-0161. That's 785-236-0161. You can see his entire portfolio online at back9development.com. And my buddy Hutch wants me to come down to the draft. We've not decided. I'm not going Thursday night. That's a given. I'm not. He wants me to come down. He's got a place down there where he lives, and he's got a parking spot within walking distance. My amazing garage floor buddy, he's got a parking spot. That's his lure to get Kevin and Jessica down to the draft. We have a parking spot for you. Okay. I may take you up on that. That might be some Friday afternoon fun. Head on down there. We'll see. Hutch, we will see. If you want to see Hutch, you can see him right there in your own garage, because he'll be coming out to work up a bid for you if you'd like a new amazing garage floor, online at amazinggaragefloors.net or 913-901-7139. The news continues around Tucker Carlson, the former host of Tucker Carlson Tonight on Fox News. A lawsuit is filed against him by Abby Grossberg. This is great. She was his lead booker, and she was hired by corporate to be his lead booker last July. She took a leave of absence in March. She lasted 9 months. She wasn't really his lead booker. He had two main producers that did that for him. Abby didn't like working there. Abby was there 9 months as the lead producer of, the lead booker, guest booker, the lead booker of Tucker Carlson Tonight. And she's filing a lawsuit against him. She doesn't like the workplace environment that he created. She's saying it was toxic, that he's a bully, that he's misogynist, and doesn't like Jews, and you name it, and she's suing for it. In New York, against Carlson, against Fox, against whatever. Oh, but you haven't heard the best part of this story. Best part of this story is the woman that's suing him has never met him. Never met Tucker Carlson. Not once. Never met him in person. Tucker did the show from his woods home in Maine and his secure private island in Florida. He didn't spend any time in New York City where everybody else was working, or Washington, D.C. at the bureau there. One of the reasons was he just got so big, he became a target and had been attacked so much. He's like, well, if I hang around in the workplace here, eventually one of these women is going to get fired and they're going to sue me and claim that I sexually harassed them or something. So he purposefully didn't want to be around. Is that a misogynist? I don't know. I respect a dude that has the wherewithal to work remotely from home and not be around women in the workplace because he's afraid that, like everyone else that makes a lot of money, they're going to get sued that they said something wrong or did something wrong in the workplace. He's still getting sued. He's getting sued by a woman that never met him. Can't make that up. The ratings are in for the first 3 days this week, and it's gone. It's over. It is completely and utterly in the tank. They've lost over half their audience. The coveted 25 to 54 time slot, and remember, a lot of Fox News viewers are over 54, okay? So they want 25-54. They want people for life. They want the 25 to 50-year-olds, 54-year-olds, and he had just dominated that for years. They're now third. It's so bad this week with Brian Kilmeade that they finished third with 25 to 54-year-olds. That's behind CNN and MSNBC. That seems absolutely impossible that a business would do this to itself. What's going on? Who knows? A lot of rumors that Elon Musk may buy Fox News. I think the Murdochs would sell it. I mean, the old man's 93. The kids don't particularly like it. Lachlan, the son that's kind of running it, is married to a wacko. I mean, a crazoid far-left woman. So he clearly gets all that at home. These are not conservatives. The branding of the company is conservative, and it needs to be saved by people that want to run it as conservatives. And it doesn't seem that the Murdochs have the stomach for that at this point. So I guess we will see. Tucker Carlson spoke for the first time. He released a 2-minute and 15-second video where he said people, he talked about genuinely nice people that have reached out and people who have reached out and care about what's true. I agree with that. He said, undeniably, the big topics in America are ignored. I thought that was him suggesting talk about him being fired is stupid. That the debate being about him instead of problems in our country is stupid. He said, it's clear now that the Republicans have no stomach, and even corporations that have Republican or right-leaning businesses are part of, he calls it a one-party state. He doesn't call it a deep state. He says the one-party state, and that is just basically the ruling class, which includes media, politicians, technology, billionaires, you know who these people are, that they all work together. Their lives are so good. They don't want any of it to change. They don't want anything questioned. It's just too good to be them. He said the one-party state is depressing, but it's not permanent because the things that they believe in, they're, quote, brain dead, and nobody actually believes them. I think that's right. This sounded more like a political speech than anything else. And he said, see you soon. There are reports out there that his contract goes 18 more months and Fox is going to keep paying him to keep him from working somewhere else. What Fox doesn't want is him immediately working somewhere else because he could beat them. If he went to Newsmax today and started, millions would switch and watch Newsmax every night at 7. Or OAN, which has already offered him $25 million. That would happen. Or, God forbid for Fox, what if CNN saw the light of day and said, you know what, let's mix the program lineup up here and offer a little something to everyone. We can keep some of our liberal shows, but what if we put this conservative show on at 7 o'clock every night? Oh, they'd get the ratings. People would go there. They may not like CNN all the rest of the day, but I've said this for years. Why wouldn't you? If you're as far down as CNN has been, why wouldn't you add some conservative programming and see what happens, or at least play it in the middle? So I think they've got him locked up. I think he mentioned nothing about all of this at all. This was a political speech more than anything else. It almost makes you think that the way that he's going to be visible over the next year and a half because he can't work is by running for president. I think that would be fun to watch. I think it'd be really fun to watch. I think it would be really fun to watch him on a debate stage with Donald Trump. I don't know that it'd be good for the party. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know in the end if this would be a great thing for America, but my, oh my, would it be entertaining, because he would be the smartest guy on the stage. And while he may not have all the flash and all these different things of a politician that, you know, people gravitate towards, he's got nothing in his background. He married his high school sweetheart. He's raised his kids. He hasn't hurt anybody. He's a deep thinker. He's a big picture guy. He articulates it very well off the cuff. He doesn't need a teleprompter or a script, and he doesn't need notes. It would be fascinating to watch. That is for sure. No question. Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina has introduced a bill in the Senate called the Securing Our Border Act. This used to work in politics. This won't work here. It used to be when the other party had something completely ridiculous, like hiring 87,000 new IRS agents for $15 billion, you would call them out and say, let's redirect these funds. Here's the Securing Our Border Act, because both parties now agree there's a problem at the border. They obviously just disagree on how to fix it. I told you this is going to happen. I said, if Biden wants to win, he's going to have to admit the border's a mess, and he's going to have to act like they're doing something about it. There's no question he's going to have to do that. And they know this. So both parties agree the border is a problem. So Senator Tim Scott has said, great, since we all agree on this, how about we come up with the Securing Our Border Act, which we could pass, and it would redirect the $15 billion for the 87,000 IRS agents and move it to the border. Well, that's a fantastic idea. Most people would be on board with that. I don't even know why Democrats wouldn't be on board with that. I mean, some would just say we want people to keep pouring in because we like the chaos, we like the crime, we like the fact that they're going to have babies here and those could become our voters. I get that part. That's a long-term play. But for right now, for the election, even for Democrats, for Joe Biden, that's a winner. It's a winner to go back and say, you're right, the 87,000 agents were a bad idea. Let's do something different with this money. That would be a winner for the Democrats. That would not just be a winner for conservatives. This used to work by calling them out and exposing them for the bad policies they have. It doesn't work anymore. People, our society doesn't pay enough attention. We're too distracted on TikTok. There's just too much stuff going on, and it's very sad because that's common sense, and that makes a lot of sense to me. Our final's coming right up, brought to you by RobertsRobinson.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC. We are professional grade. Roberts Robinson is home of the lifetime warranty. People say we just make it easier. Tickets for less. You want to go to Monster Jam, Taylor Swift, Kelsey Jam Friday night? Ticketsforless.com, promo code KKHI. I ran into a young lady yesterday at a place of business. She said her dad loved me on the radio. He lives in Portland now. I said, well, I do a podcast. Tell him where to find it. He can listen to me every day. She goes, oh, man, he's going to love that because he kind of misses Kansas City and the whole thing and still loves the Chiefs and all those different things. I said, great. And we started talking. She goes, man, I really want to go to that Kelsey Jam, but it's sold out. I said, KKHI is your promo code at ticketsforless.com. Do it. We're thinking about, we're going to Arizona next week to see my son and his fiance, and the Suns will be playing a playoff basketball game. We're thinking about going to there. And if we do, it'll be ticketsforless.com is where we buy our tickets. Luke Combs, Beyonce, Billy Joel, Ed Sheeran, all coming to Kansas City. Ticketsforless.com. Your promo code is KKHI. And of course, Window World, online at windowworld.com. J.D. Power & Associates Customer Satisfaction Award, American-made windows, siding, and doors, 0% interest available, and lifetime warranty, nothing else to know. 816-799-0820, windowworld.com. Okay, our final is something that I don't think these people can really prove, but I believe it. I think it's correct, and I think it is the number one thing we need to be focused on right now to win in 2024. A report is out. Again, perhaps not provable, but a report is out that says 85% of election fraud in America is via the United States mail. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And the majority of that is harvesting non-voters. What Democrats do is they find people in cities that don't vote. They see the voter rolls and they find people that don't vote. Okay? And I guess theoretically you mail them a ballot and then you go to them and say, did you get a ballot? I'll take your ballot and fill it out for you. Okay. And you do it, or you fill it out right there with them, which should be illegal, is illegal, I'm sure. All of this is illegal. The problem is you can't catch them. It's just, and the ones that we have caught, it just winds up being some sort of misdemeanor and a fine. And there have been people that have been caught, but it's impossible to catch once it gets in the U.S. mail. So what happens with the U.S. mail? How do we know what's happening by different zip codes? How do we know if you're in a conservative zip code in a major metropolitan area that your letter carrier isn't accidentally losing that thing and it is getting in and your vote did get counted? How do we know that? You don't. There's no poll watchers. All of the things we apply to voting polls on in-person voting do not apply to letter carriers, anyone at the post office, or anyone that handles the mailbox. Yes, it's a federal crime to tamper with the mail, but you can't catch these people. There's no oversight. And there's a massive difference between U.S. post office potential fraud in rural areas versus the city. I talk about the post office and handling of these things frequently, and I say the majority of these people are Democrats. They're in a union. They're liberal. And I forget to mention, because I've had letter carriers and people who work for the post office email me and say, hey, you're not being fair. You know, I work down here in Ottawa, and it ain't that way here. We're conservative in Ottawa. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. I always forget to say that. I'm talking about Philadelphia, and I'm talking about Atlanta, and I'm talking about Phoenix. Right now, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm also thinking about Milwaukee and Detroit and places that matter where we know we can win and lose by the narrowest of margins, where it doesn't take much voter fraud to lose. And I think that's where it is. And I do believe it's the mail-in balloting that's killing conservatives. And I think every single conservative, if there's a way, I'll check this out. I guess there is. Is there a way to find out that your vote was tallied? Once you mail it in, is it just you just believe it? I think what would be best is take your mail-in ballot and go deliver it to the election office. To me, that'd be the best way. But we've got to start voting in advance more. It's clear that there is a real number of people, and it's in the millions, who get to election day and can't make it to the poll. How many people, if 150 million people vote in the election, if you can send it in 6 weeks earlier, how many people have a life event that prevents them from voting on election day? A stroke, a heart attack, a relative dies, something happens. Out of 150 million people, how many people have life events, life-altering events over a six-week period? That's a big number. It's a big number. You should put your vote in as fast as you can because you don't know what may happen in your life. And you don't know what may happen that you may not be able to get to the poll that day. Some people can't get there because of weather. Some people, their car doesn't start and they quit. They go, I'm not going to go. My vote won't make a difference. We have to get past that. We have to get past it. Interesting study. 85% of all voter fraud is via the U.S. mail. I think I believe that. I don't know that that's provable. I think I believe that. Hey, enjoy the draft. Hope you enjoyed our draft preview. And we'll be back on Friday with another episode of KKHI. We'll talk a little bit about what the Chiefs do in the first round, and we'll get you all ready for a big weekend here in Kansas City, where apparently tens of thousands of people are in town in the NFL draft.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.